This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. A source tells ABC that the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. right now is a gruesome scene with a large number of bodies recovered from the water following last night's mid-air collision between an Army Black Hawk helicopter and an American Airlines regional jet.
American Eagle Flight 5342 originated in Wichita 2.5 hours before the crash. It was newly introduced service.
We just celebrated 1 year of that direct flight.
Lily Wu is the mayor of Wichita.
This is truly devastating. Stating something we never expected.
The plane, a Canadair regional jet, is thought to have had 64 people, including 4 crew members on board. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The NTSB is on the scene. Tom Howder is a former investigator.
Early on like this, there's a lot of rumor, a lot of people out there saying things. We need more facts, and now we don't have right yet.
A news conference being held this morning in Washington. This is ABC News. A quick turnaround for the Trump administration, now pulling back that funding freeze. ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce has the details.
In a two-sentence memo, the administration rescinding this freeze in funding. But the White House is still insisting that the president's plan to identify spending that doesn't align with his agenda, things like diversity, equity and inclusion programs, climate initiatives and foreign aid, that will still be rigorously implemented. They're basically just saying that they're not going to do it with this federal freeze that sparked so much chaos.
When it comes to the Trump administration's offer to millions of federal workers to take a buyout, a union representing government employees is urging its members to say no way. The union says it isn't sure if the administration is actually obligated to honor the deal, offering to pay resigning workers for 8 months. Netflix is making it easier to binge on the go. It's adding an option to download full seasons of shows to mobile devices with a click of just one button. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Wisconsin loses to Maryland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers had climbed to the number 17th team ranked in the nation after a recent 7-game winning streak, but they ran into a hot Maryland Terrapins team that has now won 4 in a row after beating the Badgers 76-68. Badgers head coach Greg Gard after another Big Ten loss on the road.
Yeah, I didn't think we started the second half real well. The stretch where it got away from us, you know, we had 3 or 4 possessions in a row where we missed some pretty easy looks. So some of them point blank, some good looks from three, and then they were able to answer. I think it was 57-56 at one point, and then they hit back-to-back threes and got some separation.
The Badgers women's team snapped an 8-game losing streak with a win at home over Michigan, 82-75. Baseball, Wade Miley is no longer with the Brewers. The 38-year-old lefty has rejoined the Reds on a minor league deal worth $2.5 million and should be ready by May. Wade Miley recovering from Tommy John surgery with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend, while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly sunny and unseasonably mild today, a high in the mid-50s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s. And more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high low 40s. A chance of flurries on Saturday, breezy and a high in the upper 30s.
Current temp is 30.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on a Thursday morning, January 30th, 2025. Coming up this hour, we will talk to two rookies in the Wisconsin legislature, though not rookies in the baby-faced way. Randy Udell and Jamie Wall have been around Wisconsin politics for a while, but have stepped up and decided to engage in some firsthand public service with seats in the Assembly and State Senate. So we will talk to them right around 7:30 or so. We'll also talk about big government. What's your definition of big government? Would it be government like dictating the minutiae of your lessons, even if those lessons are, say, lacking in substance? Well, that would be what Donald Trump wants to do to public schools in Wisconsin and across the country. Meanwhile, Wisconsin legislators, their answer for schools is to put more guns in classrooms. Tell you about all that coming up in just a little bit. Along the way, if you'd like to get us a message, 855-75-CIVIC, you can text us at that number, or you can use the Civic Media app, or you can put a comment on Facebook or YouTube, just as Rob in Tigerton does every morning, in which here he says, good morning from Tigerton. It's clear and 20 degrees. It's very dry. I don't ever remember being this dry in January. There have been plenty of grass fires, especially in the Green Bay area. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is with us now. Brittany, it is dry.
Yes, it is. You can feel your lips cracking, your face cracking. I mean, the dew points are extremely low, and we are definitely in that winter weather. I mean, winter's pretty dry typically when we lack that humidity, but those winds are going to be changing things as we go through the afternoon, and we're actually going to be feeling like spring today, going down in history in a lot of parts of the state for record highs. We're looking at beautiful sunny skies and a system swiping towards northern Illinois, and as it does so, it's going to lift in that nice warm air where our highs are going to be in the mid-40s to mid-50s. So this is unusual. This is extremely warm. Our records are right now anywhere from the low 40s to the low 50s. So a lot of places will be breaking this. And then after that, we are going to be cooler for tomorrow. Temperatures slide about 10 degrees cooler. And then snow pushes in as we go into Saturday, where we are looking at about 1 to 3 inches for the northern part of the state and about a trace to a half an inch south. And then a wintry mix moves in on Sunday. So a wild, very active weekend after a nice warm up today.
It kind of feels like today is like something out. What's the Christmas special? The Year Without a Santa Claus. Is that the one with the heat miser? that they got their wish for one day of record warmth, 50s in January.
That's it. Yeah.
Whatever gets it done. Luke's filling in for Greg here, and we were talking in the last hour about beer can chicken and Pringles coming out with beer can chicken flavored potato chips, including Miller Lite as the beer can that you make the chicken on. your reaction tells me you are not a griller. You don't have a beer can chicken recipe that you can share with us or anything like that?
No, okay. I don't. So I'm going to have to try these Pringles.
This is going to make the Civic Media tailgate at American Family Field that much more of a challenge.
Well, I feel like we got to do it today. Like, I got to go out, bust out the grill. It's going to be in the 50s almost. I feel like when we had a warm, was it last Friday? I don't know. Time's really weird. There was a recent Friday that was really warm. I just broke out the grill because I was like, you know what? It's in the 40s in January. Yeah. I'm going to grill some burgers. So Kelsey and I had burgers for dinner.
It'll be in the 50s in places where then it's required. You have to go out and grill.
Absolutely.
So if any of you are listening, you work in the meat department of a grocery store or your own meat market, you better make a few more patties and cut a few more steaks today. Folks are going to be stopping in spontaneously saying, let's get this done. They are. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network, well, let's see, for Matt Nair on Air, Jane is joined by Angela Lang, who will co-host, filling in for Mr. Greg Bach today. The Earl Ingram Show includes a visit with Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court. That'll be during the 9 o'clock hour. Those of you listening in Wausau on 98.9 WXCO, you get an extra hour of me. As Chad is a little under the weather, his voice has gone kaput once again. So I'll be filling in for the first hour of the Chad Holmes program today. And, of course, you can always learn much more about what's happening on all the stations and shows by heading to their website, civicmedia.us. You can learn what we're doing at Up North News by heading over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter while you're there. Among the stories in today's newsletter, one about how the Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting significant increases in flu, COVID-19, and RSV, respiratory virus. Emergency departments are seeing a surge in respiratory cases, especially among vulnerable populations, infants, young children, and older adults. You want to stay out of the ER? Get your flu shot. Get your COVID shot. But a lot of you have put that off or aren't doing it because, according to DHS, 31% of Wisconsin residents have gotten a flu shot this season. 31% with a flu shot, and a mere 15% are up to date on their COVID-19 vaccines. So keep yourself out of the hospital. Don't take these things for granted, and go get your shots. Let's get a little sports here at 7-12 right now. The Badger men's basketball team, 17th ranked in the country, but they lost to Maryland last night, 76-68. The Badgers have now lost 2 of 3 following a 7-game winning streak. The Badger men have a 16-5 record overall, 6-4 in the Big Ten. They will next play Saturday afternoon at Northwestern. You can catch that game on several Civic Media radio stations and on the Civic Media app. So go over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Badger men's hockey team is playing Friday and Saturday against the Minnesota Gophers. You can hear that on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids starting at 6:30 on Friday, 4:30 on Saturday, and on the app as well. The Marquette men's basketball team ranked 9th in the country. They defeated Butler on Tuesday night. They next play Saturday night at home. They will host 25th ranked Cincinnati. The Badger women's hockey team ranked number 1 in the country. They will be at Minnesota Duluth Friday evening and Saturday afternoon. And finally, the Milwaukee Bucks will be in San Antonio tomorrow, and then they will be home Sunday against Memphis. All right, there is a story I wanted to tell you about. Well, actually, multiple stories about our schools and public schools, the need to, defend them from all manner of attacks, financial, ideological, you name it. On Wednesday evening, President Trump signed 2 executive orders that target public schools. One would prevent schools from recognizing transgender identities. It would prevent schools from teaching about concepts like structural racism, white privilege, unconscious bias, and threatening their federal funding if they do so, all the while emphasizing what Trump calls a patriotic education, which also means not teaching parts of American history. to American children. Another order would prioritize federal funding for private voucher schools. Again, your tax dollars going toward private, usually religious schools, often for families who have already been able to afford the vouchers, but now you will pay for a private education. Trump and others, they tend to cite lower test scores in public schools as a reason for wanting to move resources. They conveniently forget to remind folks that they're the ones who have made public schools suffer through what is now decades of underfunding. And that's by design. You know, private religious schools, they are not better academically by any measurable standard. Time and time and time again, this has been proven. They're not worse. They're not better. They're different. They're a second school system. Can Wisconsin taxpayers afford two systems funded by your dollars? But private schools can do more picking and choosing of who they accept and who they exclude, what you can teach and what they don't teach. Some might call it indoctrination. But regardless, it sounds a lot like big government to me when big government is dictating that you must teach patriotism, but you cannot teach the things that have made our country what it is, including our struggles, including our missteps on our way always toward becoming a more perfect union. So what are Wisconsin lawmakers doing about this? Well, Republicans control the Senate and Assembly and have shown no indication that they're going to make up the shortfall in funding our public schools. So what are they proposing? Well, let's see. For one group of lawmakers, it's about requiring public schools to display a sign. A sign that says, "In God we trust." Put that on the walls of the classrooms. The three legislators who are putting the bill out there want all public school buildings to have that sign up on 11 by 14 paper by the 2026-2027 school year. That's their answer. Look, it could be worse, and it is. Here's another Republican bill that's been introduced that says we need more armed teachers. We need more loaded guns in classrooms, and also provide grants to schools to improve building safety and staff training. So a lot of money for, I don't know, metal detectors and putting police officers in schools and all kinds of things, because that's easier for a politician than actually doing something about America's gun crisis overall. So arming the teachers is the way it would be done. In both cases, the "In God We Trust" sign on the classrooms and the arming teachers, both are sponsored in part by Senator Corey Tomchek of Mosinee. This second bill would allow teachers with a gun license to carry firearms on campus if school boards adopt a policy saying that it's allowed. I don't even know where to go on that, because I feel like the best thing I could possibly do to react to this is to say their answer to school shootings is to put more loaded guns into classrooms with people who are not law enforcement officers and do not undergo regular training in our schools. So I guess maybe in God they'll have to trust, because we certainly can't trust some of our lawmakers to keep our kids safe or to give them a properly funded, thorough education. Still ahead, two of our newest state legislators, Representative Randy Udell and State Senator Jamie Wall. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think he's right. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm sure there's a list someplace of other songs that are just built around ridiculous lyrics. Like Susudio, there by Phil Collins, who turned 74 today. I'm thinking, for example, The Joker by Steve Miller Band. Isn't that the one where they sing about the pompatus of love? That there is no word, pompatus. It just felt like a good thing.
It exists now because Steve Miller made it.
Yes, exactly. Let's see, you had Earth, Wind & Fire September, where they just sing body ah a lot, but that's not quite the same as making up a word. But yeah, there's basically some nonsense out there. But Phil Collins probably had the biggest one of all of those hits.
I don't know. I got to push back.
What do you got?
Fergalicious. Fergalicious might be the biggest made up one.
Okay, we might have a generational divide on that one and whether that counts or not. Are you able? I'm throwing a curveball at you here, but I was looking at the recap of the Robert Kennedy Jr. confirmation hearings in D.C. yesterday, and I know Dr. Lyerly's not in town this week. She's working, but I see she did put up something late yesterday because she subjected herself to much of the confirmation hearing. And look, I don't know that Kristen Lyerly's going to change minds on Robert Kennedy Jr., or if I am, or if anybody else is. I think if anybody is going to change somebody's mind who supports Robert Kennedy Jr., might be the people themselves hearing from Robert Kennedy Jr. in his own words. It's one thing to, let's say you're a Donald Trump supporter, and so obviously if he suggests somebody, you know, they must be a good person, right? And, you know, that RFK, he's going to shake things up and everything else. But then he actually listened to him and realized that he has had such alternating views on vaccines and on reproductive rights and on public health issues that even though, as written in the Wisconsin Examiner here, it says Kennedy pledges to bring, quote, radical transparency to the Department of Health and Human Services, if he's confirmed a secretary, it's hard to tell what that means. Because of the way that his positions have shifted and often shifted toward the position that is more in line with conspiracy theories and quackery than anything based in public health. He has made several differing statements about abortion access when he unsuccessfully ran for president, but then pledged to implement Donald Trump's agenda on reproductive rights, whatever that might be. And again, for somebody who is ostensibly going to be the nation's top health official, it would be nice to have somebody with a scientific medical background rather than somebody who says, you know, whatever this New York real estate celebrity who became president wants to do for public health, we're going to go ahead and do that. That's what you find in authoritarian governments, not a government made up of people who work at these things for a living, like doctors and things. Luke, any luck with finding Kristen's reaction, or should we just wait until Monday? And
she's
get
got
it from
a couple. She's got a couple different Facebook profiles and pages, so I'm looking for it, but I haven't quite found it yet.
Oh, you'll find her political one at Kristen for Wisconsin, Kristen with two eyes, just like the note I sent you over there. So no, we'll look and see if we can get that or not. And in the meantime, invite your input as well. You can always text us at 855-75-CIVIC, or you can put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. You got a little something there to share with us?
I believe I do.
All right, let's give a listen.
I watched the RFK Jr. nomination hearing today, and I can't even believe what I saw. This man was so completely unprepared to be considered for the lead role for Health and Human Services. I mean, he was struggling to answer questions about Medicare and Medicaid, two of the hugest programs that would be under his umbrella. Senators were having to teach him about some of the fundamentals. So not only was he underprepared, but we know that he's unqualified. And frankly, he was lying about some of the things that he had said in the past. The senators were showing him quotes of things that he had said in different scenarios. And he was frankly just not admitting it. And then the cherry for me was when he didn't know, I don't know, was his answer to whether a woman should be able to receive emergency care for a miscarriage. I'm wordless. So please talk to your senators, reach out to them, let them know that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not our guy for Health and Human Services. We need somebody who understands and values the health and well-being of the American people.
All right. Thank you, Kristen. Appreciate that very much. That was a social media post that you put up yesterday after subjecting yourself to what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say. Will he be confirmed? Once again, if you can find four senators to say this really isn't in the public interest, it won't go forward. But for Pete Hegseth's nomination to be Secretary of Defense, they could only find three Republican senators willing to stand up for decency and not confirm the guy who is now running the Pentagon. A little update from Washington, D.C. It appears confirmed now by officials that, as suspected, there are no survivors in a mid-air collision plane crash overnight as a regional jet from Wichita, Kansas, was flying into Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., and just prior to landing, collided in midair with a Black Hawk helicopter. The helicopter had been told by air traffic control to be sure to go behind the regional jet. They were essentially flying in opposite directions, not quite on a collision course, but close to it above the Potomac River, as the American Eagle jet from Wichita was coming in for a landing, and there are multiple video views of the midair collision into the icy waters of the Potomac River, where there were 60 passengers and four crew members aboard the plane, and no survivors there, and it doesn't appear to be any from the Black Hawk helicopter. Don't know how many people were involved in that either. All the loss of life is a tragedy, but there's also a special emphasis on the figure skating community, because the U.S. Figure Skating Championships had just been held in Wichita. And following the championships, there is a development camp for younger skaters. And so many people stayed behind. And members of the U.S. Figure Skating Association were on the plane. Russia confirmed a number of its skaters and coaches were on the plane, along with many others. And our hearts go out to all of the families and the rescuers who tried to help out in that terrible situation. We'll talk to two state legislators coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Even if agriculture's not involved in actions taken by the Trump administration, it can get involved. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Nick Paulson's a professor of ag economics at the University of Illinois. In 2019, he spent time as a senior economist on the Council of Economic Advisors to the President. And of course, that was the first Trump administration. Paulson says that even if agriculture's not involved in policy developments, it can become a target.
We do rely so heavily for a lot of our major ag commodities on export markets, which unfortunately makes them a prime target for some of that retaliatory action. When we put in place tariffs on other countries, you know, ag is an easy target for them to put tariffs on our exports to them. And so even if agriculture is not part of the broader policy objectives of that trade policy, it unfortunately a lot of times feels the brunt of some of the negative consequences.
That's Nick Paulson. He's an ag economist from the University of Illinois and a previous member on the Council of Economic Advisors to the White House. He was a guest speaker during the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum in Madison.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Staff and members of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation have returned from their 106th annual convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation in San Antonio with a few awards. Wisconsin was recognized with the New Horizon Award that recognizes the most innovative new state Farm Bureau programs. Wisconsin was recognized for Gather Wisconsin, which is a series of resources that are designed to connect consumers with the farmers that grow and raise the food their family enjoys. Also, Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, has been elected to a one-year term on the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual board of directors. Find more news like that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly sunny and unseasonably mild today, a high in the mid-50s. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 20s. And more sun, but not as warm tomorrow, high low 40s. A chance of flurries on Saturday, breezy and a high in the upper 30s.
Current temp is 30.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
late Marty Balin from Jefferson Airplane and Starship was born this day in 1942. Passed away back in 2018. You can catch our daily history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Next week on the program, we will be talking to at least two, if not all three, of the candidates for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. The incumbent State Superintendent, Jill Underley, will join us on Tuesday morning. Candidate Jeff Wright will join us Wednesday morning. We are still trying to work out a date with the third candidate, Brittany Kinzer. All three are running in the February 18th primary. The top two candidates will advance and face off in the April 1st general election. That April 1st election is also when we will see an election for state Supreme Court between Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel, the former Wisconsin Attorney General, and Dane County Judge Susan Crawford. We had Susan Crawford on a week before last, I believe it was. And so we'll continue following both of those races here at Up North News. But again, next week, State Superintendent Jill Underley on Tuesday, candidate Jeff Wright on Wednesday. Tomorrow on the program, we'll have our regular Week in Review panel with journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and Courier Newsroom reporters Isabel Soisson and Kia Vakil. So stick around for all of that. But what we have right now are two brand new legislators. You know, you could call them rookies, but don't call them greenhorns or anything like that.
What behind the ears is the phrase I use, Pat.
Not even close. These guys are not spring chickens. I've watched all three of us watch our hair color continue to change in directions we didn't ask for. And yet here we all are. State Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay and Representative Randy Udell from Fitchburg. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Hey, nice to have you both here, and I mean that in an extra special way because I know just how much work you all have done over the years, Randy, with the State Democratic Party behind the scenes as an officer. Jamie, you were running in 2006 when I ran and won a seat in the legislature. In 2012, when I was running for Congress in the 7th District, you were running for Congress in the 8th District in Northeast Wisconsin, so we have been to this rodeo for a while, but here you are in new positions in the Assembly and Senate. Randy, let me start with you. After years of service inside the party, what's it like being in the Assembly?
Well, it is different. There is a term that's used, and it was a new term, and I often reference it. It's like drinking from a fire hose.
Yes.
And, I think all 23 of us, the new members, use it quite often. There is just a lot of information. But it's such an exciting time. It's an exciting place to be in the Capitol and to work to make a difference for my constituency in District 47.
Yeah. I got to say, if you approach this job as a legislator with the detail, the tenacity, the organization that you brought as treasurer of the State Democratic Party, your constituents are very fortunate. I have always been so impressed with your diligence. What made you decide to take that from a lot of numbers and work like that to becoming a legislator and writing bills?
Well, I don't know if it was a difficult decision, but I did put some thought into it, of course. And I mean, I have besides being treasurer of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin since 2015, I was a telecommunications engineer with AT&T for 30 years. So, and I can touch on broadband after a little bit. I think it's very important in the state. But what took me from after I retired in 2018, some individuals approached me and said, Randy, you're always behind the scenes. We believe you have a lot to offer. And as I put some more thought into it, I do believe I have something to offer for local municipalities. I started out in Fitchburg on the city council president, chair of finance, 3 of the 4 years, and then Dane County Board of Supervisor, which I still hold. And I just really believe that it's important to give back to the community. I really, you know, somebody rolled their eyes once at me when I said I really enjoy listening to my constituency. And I truly do enjoy and taking that information and what can we do to make it make their lives better.
So yeah, I know we all enjoy that. We enjoy we actually enjoy the listening and processing, you know, not for the ones who are extremely cynical about it, but there's still plenty of people who earnestly have ideas they'd like us to consider. Jamie, tell us about your own path to the state Senate.
Sure. Well, you know, honestly, this wasn't something I was considering a year or so ago, but I began to see the stories about the new maps that might come out and began to pay a little bit more attention to those. I suspect, like the two of you and like all sorts of people around the state, I wasn't particularly happy with the direction of our state government under the previous maps, which made it illegal for Democrats to have any say at all in the legislature. So this was a chance for me, and I was at a point in my life where I could, I have run my own management consulting practice for many years. I work with business people to help them solve problems that they need a little bit of extra help in dealing with, and then often implementing them. So I thought this was a good chance for me to take that same kind of problem-solving mindset and put it to work for my friends and neighbors here in the greater Green Bay area.
Well, you are certainly doing that. And I forget if it was three or four, correct me on the number, Kristen Lyerly talks about it all the time, but under the old maps, there were like three or four Senate districts, but all of the Republican senators lived practically within a stone's throw of each other because of the way the districts were drawn. And then when the new districts came out, none of them were living in this particular district or not wanting to run in that district. And it enabled you to be able to be in a seat with maps that are more competitive and, you know, get folks some representation up in that area. Let's talk a bit about what's been happening first out of the gate with Democrats in the Assembly and Senate, because as I explained in the last segment, we know what the first Republican priorities have been. There's been voter suppression through a voter ID constitutional amendment, putting up In God We Trust signs in classrooms, and arming teachers. I sense these things are not in the Democratic proposals, that there might be things that are a bit more concrete and helpful. Randy, do you want to kick that off from an Assembly Democratic standpoint about one or two of the things that are in the package of bills y'all unveiled last week?
Well, we unveiled last week was really just to focus in on what the good citizens of the state want from us and what they need. We spoke to cost of groceries, prescription drugs, housing costs. These are all important issues that, you know, for the day-to-day living of Wisconsin residents. And we just want to focus in on what impacts the citizens and move the state forward. So,
okay. And Senator Wall, tell us more about what you see in that package and what Democrats are going to be proposing this year.
Sure. Well, I knocked on almost 19,000 doors around the district in the course of the campaign last year. And I heard an awful lot from people about the cost of living. And, you know, this should be no surprise for anybody who's followed Wisconsin or American politics. But housing costs were very high on the list. Green Bay, you know, is not Madison or Manhattan, but we were, I think, the seventh metro area in the country last year in terms of the rate of increase of housing costs. So people are feeling pinched on that. Randy mentioned, you know, a few other issues, you know, grocery costs, healthcare, childcare. So I was really heartened to see that we were able to get, I think, every Democrat in the Senate and the Assembly to come together behind a package of bills that does the right thing for the right people, where we're trying to help out regular people with the cost of their daily lives, balance their family budgets. So just to dive into that in a little more detail, one of the things that we proposed is increasing eligibility for something called the Homestead Tax Credit. And simply put, that helps elderly people, that helps people with limited incomes buy down their property taxes and stay in their homes. All right, so first and foremost, a targeted tax cut for people who need it the most, and it helps with the cost of housing. So I was particularly excited that we were able to lead with that coming out the gate.
And it's important to note that, look, this is not things that a Congress can do at a national level and can definitely appropriate a lot more money for it. At the state legislative level, you know, you have to do a little bit more finesse. You can't build more housing units necessarily, but you can provide the tax credits that help people afford a first home or entice them to sell a first home and downsize mm-hmm. when they get their second home, which would free up some of the housing inventory and things like that. So there are things you can do under the under the umbrella of increased affordability for Wisconsin residents. Let me ask about committee assignments. Randy Udell, state representative from Fitchburg, is with us, along with Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay. So, Randy, first, what are you doing committee-wise for service this term?
Well, I was actually appointed to three committees, and I'm very excited about the committees. I was a little bit surprised. A lot of my colleagues were given two assignments. So I'm in the position here of working on three different committees: financial institutions, forestry, parks, and outdoor recreation, and insurance. They were of my. We do get to list committees we would like to be appointed to, and all three of these were on my list, so they were top of the list. I was very pleased that I was given the assignments. Forestry and parks, recreation, outdoor recreation, dear to my heart. Like many of us, I do have a state park, Lake Kiganza State Park, in my district, so very important to District 47.
And how about you, Jamie?
Sure. Well, there are three assembly reps for every senator, so there are more committees on the other side of the building as well. So ours tend to be a little bit more agglomerated, and sometimes chairs will put together issues that interest them that, you know, at first blush might not seem to have a lot to do with each other. But my main committee is one like that. But the good news is I think almost every component of that is something I've got a personal interest in, and this was very high on my list as well. So it's the Senate committee. Bear with me, take a deep breath, on insurance, housing, rural affairs, and forestry. So I've already talked about housing and how much I heard from my constituents here about that. So I'm delighted to be serving in that. I've got a long list of ideas and talking to colleagues, both Republicans and Democrats, about how we might be able to work together on that. This is an area that has historically not been particularly partisan. And I do think that, as Pat said, that we have a role to make it easier to build more housing, which is the fundamental thing we need to do to help with the cost of housing here. Oh, I see. My cat Gertrude would like to join us for the interview here.
We have so many cats and dogs that are friends of the show, so we're always glad to add one more. That's right. And no shame in the committee names, said the former chair of the Committee on Rural Affairs, Biofuels, and Information Technology.
There you have it.
You get quite an amalgamation of stuff that goes in there. Let me close with this, just based on recent events here. When President Trump threatened to cut off all manner of federal spending, I think that while it scared a lot of people, it also reminded a lot of people of the way that we're all interconnected in many ways, the many ways that government at the federal and state levels can serve us or not serve us if people decide they want to cut and slash those programs. But I feel like it emphasized that when government is run well, our tax dollars can be used for a whole host of good purposes that Donald Trump threatened. Jamie, any quick observation on any other takeaway from this hopefully false alarm on Trump trying to cut so much federal funding that would come to states?
Well, I just say about 30% of the state budget is actually federal funding, and 2/3 of that is the federal share of the Medicaid program, which provides health care for people of lesser means in the state. So I think the Trump people didn't quite know what they were biting off here. They were very quickly forced to roll back what they proposed. You know, this was a big sweeping ideological, you know, statement that ended up not being very practical at all and potentially hurting the lives of lots of Americans. So I was glad to see them reverse field. We'll just have to see if we're going to see more of this sort of chaos coming out of Washington or if we get a better result. I don't know. That's up to them.
Randy, a few seconds of your observations on the whole affair.
Yeah, no, I'm just very pleased that he did rescind the order as well. It would impact so many our lives in the state of Wisconsin. I'm very pleased with the governor and his approach and his quick response as well. He sent out a letter immediately and
a letter and all kinds of legal action as well. And again, yeah. it's that quick response from him on that matter, birthright citizenship and more, that's going to be so important. Representative Randy Udell of Fitchburg, Senator Jamie Wall of Green Bay, thank you guys very much. I appreciate the visit.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Pat.
We will wrap up our conversation here in just a moment. You're up north.
California.
Eagle 1490 AM. Keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
There is something about comfort food, especially if it keeps you connected to family and your favorite recipes when you're away from home. A UW La Crosse program, Recipes from Home, is helping students there by bringing a taste of their childhood right to campus. Parents submit their family favorite recipes, and if picked, the featured meal is made and served to everyone at the dining hall. The student's name, hometown, and recipe is displayed next to the food. Now, some of the recipes from home enjoyed by all this winter range from chicken chili to bacon ranch tater tot casserole. Both students and parents agree a familiar meal can create a delicious, just right moment for all. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
The hurt doesn't show, but the pain's too gross.
That's ready.
I will tell you, for the record, Luke Mathers was perfect. Hit every drum beat perfect. If you ever get, you do air drum contests, you really should. How's your air guitar playing?
My drumming is all right. I think that's what leads into my air drumming ability to be okay.
Okay, well, yeah, that helps if you've actually played drums.
Phil Collins, I think, very, very instrumental in my desire, though, of learning how to play, because... Really? I know you said throughout the 80s, a little early for me for Phil Collins. I had to catch up to speed later. But my introduction to Phil Collins was the movie Tarzan.
Oh, really?
And just like, I believe the entire soundtrack of Tarzan is Phil Collins. Mm. And my dad really liked all of his work in Genesis and as a solo career. And so my dad would watch documentaries. And you'd see the kind of behind the scenes of Tarzan. They do this whole... like deep dive, and you can see his process of watching the animators create the film and then how he came back, watched it, and made the soundtrack to go along with it. And it's a really cool, I forget what the name of the documentary is, but watch that with my dad. And I always love playing the drums, but seeing Phil Collins as somebody that can be behind the drum set and sing at the same time, I'm not gifted in that regard, cannot sing. Like, sure, we'll do so behind the steering wheel from time to time and whatnot with the songs you love.
Do. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. As one tends to do. But mm-hmm. just the skill and talent it takes to both sing and play the drums is it's insane.
Well, because it's a bit of a cardio workout while you're trying to sing in a balanced way.
Just a bit.
So, yeah. So I totally get that. Let's see. As mentioned, but in case you're joined us a little bit later here, Chad Holmes is a little under the weather, and so those of you listening on 98.9 WXCO, I'll continue with you for another hour here. And then with Greg gone and Luke filling in, Jane Matinair will need some co-hosts, and Angela Lang from Block is going to be Jane's co-host coming up this morning from 10 till noon. On the Earl Ingram Show, coming up next on many of these civic media stations, Supreme Court candidate Dane County Judge Susan Crawford is his guest coming up at 9 o'clock. So, I mean, we've got just a, a busy day all across the network, and so much more Luke than we ever thought possible before.
Not as much as yesterday, though, so I'm appreciative of that.
Okay, all right, we got that. We mentioned already a couple of the stories in the Up North News daily newsletter about the importance of getting your flu shot and your COVID shot, for example. But there's also an article in here about the 10 greatest Packers of all time. There's a can of worms.
Wow. Yeah. Those are some fighting words at a bar, because I'm sure that there's some disagreements. Yes.
So I'll come back to that. But I know that we were talking earlier about the Miller Lite beer can chicken flavored Pringles potato chips. And coincidentally, one of the stories in our newsletter today from Christina is about we're getting ready for the Super Bowl here. Mm-hmm. And so what are the most popular game day dips in Wisconsin? Now, around the country, the number one pick for dips is buffalo chicken dip, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
But it's not number one in Wisconsin. Can you guess Wisconsin's number one party dip?
It's got to be like beer cheese or something along those lines.
Oh, that's
right?
A fair guess. Well, it's taco.
Taco dip. Oh, okay.
People love the taco dip here. You know, cream cheese, sour cream, taco sauce, refried beans, you know. But there's also, like, in Louisiana, the most popular dip is artichoke dip.
Ooh, that's a good one.
My wife makes that all the time. There's chocolate chip cookie dip. That's number one in Oklahoma. South Carolina has a corn dip. Vermont has a hoagie dip. And Virginia loves pizza dip, which I'm guessing we would call pizza fries here. And I love pizza fries so much.
We went to a dip-off once at...
A dip-off?
Yeah, the Wisconsin Brewing, now Lake Louis Brewing, had like a... I don't think it was anything. It was very much potluck style. It was just like, bring some dips that you want to enter into this. And they were like, you could like rank them. And it was last spring. I think they do it once a year. So I'll have to keep... But there's National Dip Day, I believe. Chips and Dip Day. And it's right around there. And it was a very interesting, they had a pumpkin pie dip that I didn't think I was going to like at first, but it was really, really tasty. But I don't know if I can ever have a sweets kind of dessert dip as my favorite dip. I need a little bit more savory in my favorite dip.
I do like a good fruit dip, but to me, that's almost like a different category, you know, if you will. I think Tony actually would come out on top in a contest in Wisconsin, writing in on YouTube from Ashland Ranch. Just bring a bottle of ranch dressing. You're going to win the dip contest in Wisconsin. I'm pretty confident of that. All right, just really quickly, because it's mentioned in the newsletter, if you want to pick a fight with folks, I'm just, rather than ask you for your Mount Rushmore of Packer players, I'm just going to rattle off Sports Illustrated's top 10 Packers of all time, and you tell me what you think as we go along. Number 10, Reggie White, defensive end. I thought he might rank a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also going to find out why. There's some names in here that go a little before our time. Bart Starr, number 9.
What? Oh, again, okay.
Thought he'd be up there a little higher, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback. But there's players that you might have forgotten, looked over. They were before your time, perhaps. Number 8, Willie Davis, defensive end all throughout the 1960s. Number 7 would be Paul Hornung, running back in the 50s and 60s. Number 6, Herb Adderley, cornerback. Throughout the 1960s. And again, this team was knocking out championships left and right in those years before the Super Bowl. Safety Willie Wood, again, all throughout the 1960s. Number 4, Forrest Gregg. I only know him as a coach. Forgot that all throughout the 60s, you know, as an offensive tackle. He was one of the best Packers ever. Brett Favre at number 3. Aaron Rodgers at number 2, which leaves us, and you see his name outside the stadium all the time, outside the Don Hudson Center.
Yeah.
Wide receiver Don Hudson from 1935 to 1945. So make your own Mount Rushmore accordingly, and we'll share notes one of these days here. Thank you, Luke. We'll see you tomorrow for a little bit more Up North News Radio. Tomorrow we will have Jennifer Schulze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Kia Vakil, Isabel Soissons, and Dan Schumacher. Up North News comes to you from Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. I'm Pat Wrightlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. A gruesome scene along the Potomac River in Washington, D.C. after last night's deadly mid-air collision between an American Airlines regional jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. ABC's Karen Travers is in Washington with more.
All of the passengers aboard the American Airlines jet that collided with an Army helicopter last night over the Potomac River near Washington are feared dead. Officials say the effort now has shifted from a rescue operation to a recovery operation. John Donnelly, chief of the District of Columbia Fire and EMS Department.
At this point, we don't believe there are any survivors from this accident. And we have recovered 27 people from the plane and one from the helicopter.
Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Officials say the plane's fuselage is sitting in the river in three different sections. The jet was on approach for landing when the crash happened. The chopper pilot had told the tower minutes before the collision the plane was in its sights. This is ABC News.